It's Palm Sunday, and the final days have now begun. Jesus' entry into Jerusalem is full of excitement and meaning. When you read through the gospel, you feel the swell of energy for this moment. Everything's been leading to this, and it's exciting. For most of the gospels, Jesus is with his small group of disciples, teaching them or walking with them, or he's one-on-one with someone who's in need of healing or searching for some answers. The crowds are most often in the background. One time he feeds 5,000 of them with just a few loaves and fishes. Sometimes he speaks to multitudes. It's in places with names like Galilee and Capernaum and Samaria and Sidon. Something's changed now. The geography has changed for sure. He's at the Mount of Olives, just outside the east gate of Jerusalem. Ancient prophecy said the Messiah's feet would stand on the Mount of Olives before he would come into Jerusalem. Jesus is at the Mount of Olives. Ancient kings rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. Jesus has a donkey. The place is set, the scene is set, and it's Passover, the celebration of liberation from oppression at the hands of enslavers. The place, the scene, the moment, the time has come. The moment Jesus sits on that donkey, there's no going back. He's going into Jerusalem to face whatever comes. So, let us go together to meet Christ on the Mount of Olives. Today, from there, he proceeds of his own free will into the crowds, towards his enemies, to face his suffering, and to culminate his passion on the cross. And through it all, he will fulfill our salvation. He who came down from heaven to raise us from the depths of sin and despair, to raise us with himself, he who was sovereign and supreme above every name that can be named, now comes of his own free will to make his journey to Jerusalem. He comes without the pomp of religious spectacle, without the ego of Roman prefects, without ostentation. He comes riding on a donkey. He is meek, he is humble, his entry is made in simplicity. Let us enter with him in simplicity. Simplicity is single-mindedness, which is a gift and the result of a heart that's pure and seeks to walk in the truth. So let us enter with clear eyes and pure hearts into this solemn week. It may not be so easy because we are so very busy and so very distracted and anxious about so many things for these days and the days to come. It's just so very easy to shuffle down the road kicking rocks. But as Will Willimon says of these last days of Lent, we're too close now, and the road is too narrow for anything but truth now. We must learn to see and tell the truth of ourselves and embrace confession that cleanses the soul, that we may seek and follow the one who is truth and salvation. The opposite of mercy is not judgment, he says. The opposite of mercy is illusion. The illusion that we can follow Jesus at a safe distance, admire him without surrendering to him, receive his gifts without receiving his claim upon us. And lest we walk down the road just kicking rocks, let us remember that if we are silent, it's the rocks that will cry out. So what is his claim upon us? From ancient times, Christians have turned to the image of the crowds laying their palms and cloaks on the ground as an image of Christian discipleship. It goes far beyond laying down cloaks and palm branches. St. Andrew of Crete said, "Let us run to accompany him as he hastens toward his passion and imitate those who met him then, not by covering his path with garments, olive branches, or palms, but by doing all we can to prostrate ourselves before him by being humble and by trying to live as he would wish. Then we shall be able to receive the word at his coming, and God, whom no limits can contain, will be within us." This is a powerful call to us, to see ourselves in the story, not as like Christ riding on a donkey, humble and courageous, not even as his disciples faithfully retrieving the animal for him and singing hosannas, not even the crowds pressing in to welcome and celebrate him, but to see ourselves as the cloaks on the ground under the feet of the donkey that carries our Lord. To see ourselves this way is humbling. It's also a path to simplicity. What is our role in this story on Christ's final days? To prepare the way, to pave the way, to welcome and receive him with open arms and open hearts and faith. As you well know, the welcome and faith demonstrated by the crowds on Sunday wavered by Friday. A city which appeared to be with him would turn against him by the end of the week, as their shouts went from Hosanna to crucify him. But not so for us. No, not for us. We follow on this road in simplicity and truth and humility. We follow wherever it leads. This is our calling. This is our commitment. This is our prayer. We ask God for help in this, not to be distracted or to have our hearts turn aside, but to follow him all the way from here to the cross. We know we're not nearly so heroic, but we pray to be. We pray to be faithful. In the end, if we are fully faithful, we're nothing more in this story, no more, no less than a cloak or a palm branch laid on the road on which the hooves of a donkey walks. It's a humbling place to be, laying our lives down. But remember, those are the hooves of a donkey carrying the Lord. This is his story, it's not ours. We're not center stage here. This is about him. The moment he sat on that donkey on the Mount of Olives and turned it to face Jerusalem, there was no going back. He took on the ancient story of David riding into the city to claim his kingship and set himself as the Messiah, come to liberate oppressed people. Jesus set himself as the new king coming into a city not at all prepared for who he is. What do? We lay down our lives. This is the call of the gospel upon us all, to die to self, to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, to give freely to those in need, to be a branch grafted on the Lord's vine, to be a servant in the house of God, to wash one another's feet, to give one another holy bread and cup, and sit in silence and confess our sins and forgive those we need to forgive and follow in his steps and lay down our lives. I think of the men I've known who've cared for their ailing and aging wives through years of failing health. I think of women I've known who've cared for their husbands through years of memory loss and personality change. I've seen in enduring marriages like these the fulfillment of vows from health to sickness till death do them part. It's one of the most beautiful things I've seen. And I've seen some beautiful things. I've seen students spend their spring breaks driving vans full of strangers at the beach so they would be safe and get a glimpse of Christ's compassion. I've seen young adults turn aside from lucrative career paths to follow a call to give their lives in service to the poor and vulnerable. I've seen doctors use their little and precious vacation time to go to places like African villages and serve a line of people stretching far down the road, give them the medical care they would not otherwise have. I've seen parents sacrifice for years for their children's education, for their mental health, for their livelihoods, and to develop their character. I've seen people retire and then give their time to serve in the community and at church and wonder how they ever had time to work. I've seen people give sacrificially of their time and their money to serve the gospel. This week, former members of our church who moved away years ago sent to us in the mail a large donation to the building project. Out of the blue. You know why? They love their time here. And they love you now. And they want to be a part of what God's doing here. Inspiring. I've seen people give food to the hungry and drink to the thirsty, and then work for food and water policies that would serve all people. I've seen people visit the imprisoned and then advocate for criminal justice reform. I've seen people visit the sick and then spend years in training to become doctors and nurses and hospice chaplains. I've seen beautiful things, and at every turn, there's someone laying down their life. There's a harrowing and honored tradition in Christian life of laying down life unto martyrdom. Many Christians in many parts of the world have done so with courage to the very end, strengthened in the conviction and faith by the example of Jesus, who went of free will to the cross. But laying down your life isn't reserved for the dramatic. It's daily. It's quiet. It's in relationships strained by the troubles of life and in days that have more responsibilities than ours. But in there is meaning and purpose and even joy. We have to look for joy on the path that leads into Holy Week. But to me, it seems it's infused by knowing that lives laid down are done so in prelude to the mystery and majesty of resurrection. In his humility, Christ entered the darkness of our fallen world and became humble for our sake. He came and lived among us and shared in our nature in order to raise us up again to himself in the last day, and to raise our daily lives to him in all of our relationships and trials. And even though we're told he ascended above the highest heavens, his love for us will never rest until he has raised our earthbound nature from glory to glory and made us one with his own in heaven. We lay down our lives, he raises them up. This is the shape of discipleship. We are lowered down in trust. He raises us up in grace. We are lowered down in faith. He raises us up in glory. We are buried with him in baptism unto death. We are raised to walk with him in new life. We lay down our lives like a cloak or a branch on the path. When we rise, we are clothed in Christ. And so, let us spread before his feet not garments or olive branches which delight the eye for a while and then wither, but spread before his feet wherever they take the Messiah in the world today, to spread before his feet ourselves, clothed in grace, clothed completely in him. We who have been baptized in Christ must ourselves be spread before him. Let us present the conqueror of death with the real reward of his victory. Let our souls take the place of the branches as we join in the song, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Amen.